Well, how many of you this morning did not pick up a bulletin? Not a bulletin, but an outline. If you didn't pick up an outline, raise your hand. Well, that's quite a few. Okay, you're one of my examples this morning. Okay, how many of you did pick up an outline but didn't turn it over and look on the back? Got a few of those. Okay, how many of you turned over and looked at the back but just ignored it? We got a few of those. Is there anybody that picked up an outline, turned it over, and did what was on the back? Anybody? That's about right. Okay. Maybe I should give you 5 minutes to do that this morning. Now, I thought maybe some of those that came early this morning would have done that while they were sitting waiting for the rest of us to drag in. It's about right, I say, because the thing on the back of your outline is an illustration of religion, of Christianity. It's an illustration of, you can see the title of it, Follow the Directions. How good or poor are you at following the directions? Diane, being a kindergarten teacher, that's one of a kindergarten teacher's main jobs for the whole first half of the school year, is to get the kids to know when to sit down and when to stand up, when to go to this and when, and to raise their hand when they want to talk, and it keeps you busy for a long time. When I substitute taught, I told them, I said, you can put me anywhere, but don't put me in kindergarten. I can't handle kindergarten. They don't know the ropes yet. But when it comes to following directions is important. And that's one of the things that this little paper illustrates. So, you know, if y'all want to look at that and go through that, fortunately, I think most of the things on there are things that you can do quietly. I have another one that I give young people at like a youth meeting or something that has things like bark like a dog or things like that on it. But I didn't put any of those. I didn't want y'all to be embarrassed in the middle of services this morning. But our lesson this morning is entitled Building by the Blueprints. We want to talk about following the directions. There is the old proverb, I guess you could say, if all else fails, read the directions. And that's the way most of us go through life. We think we've got it all figured out. We think we know all the answers. And so we go right on through, but then occasionally something comes along and, well, wait a minute, this isn't working the way it's supposed to. Why won't it work? And we can't figure it out, and we can't figure it out, and we fiddle with it, and fiddle with it, and we just can't figure out why it won't work right. And then we finally figure out that maybe we should go back and read the directions. And if we'll read the directions, we'll figure out how it's supposed to work. Imagine, if you will, I don't know if any of you are game players. In my house growing up, we were big game players. We played lots of different games. And every time we got a new game, one of the things we had to do, of course, was read the instructions, read the direction. How do you play the game? Can you imagine playing a game, even a simple game like Go Fish? I mean, that's a pretty simple game. But even that simple little child's game, if you didn't know the directions, you wouldn't be able to play it. You wouldn't know what to do with the cards in your hand. You wouldn't know that you're supposed to ask somebody else for a card. You wouldn't know that if they said no, you were supposed to draw one out of the pile. You wouldn't know that if somebody asked you and you didn't have it, you were supposed to say, go fish. You wouldn't know. You just would have no idea what to do with those cards. You wouldn't know how many cards to deal to each player. You wouldn't know that you were supposed to get four of a kind. You would know nothing about it if you didn't have the directions or if someone didn't tell you the directions. I played a game with some of the children at a youth devotional one time where I took some cards and I gave one of them about 3 or 4 cards and gave another one 7 or 8 cards, gave one of them only 1 card, and gave another one about 15 cards. And I said, okay, now, go ahead and play. Well, they didn't have any idea how to play. They didn't know what to do. They said, wait a minute, he's only got 1 card and I've got 15. What? How are we supposed to play? We don't even have the same number of cards. And what are we supposed to do with these cards? They didn't have any idea because I hadn't given them any instructions or directions to play the game. Well, when we don't have directions, we can't play right. When we don't have directions, we make mistakes. One time, some other men and I were trying to put together a shed. One of these little aluminum sheds that we bought at Sears for $300 or $400 for this, all the parts came with it. Well, because we didn't do a very good job of planning and reading the instructions, we made several mistakes. The first mistake we made was in laying the concrete slab for that shed. We laid a nice 8x8 concrete slab. Problem was, the shed was 10x8. It didn't fit. When we began to put the shed together, at the bottom of the shed were little rails that went all the way around the bottom of it, and they all looked the same, pretty much. And so we started putting them together. No need to read that. We know that's the bottom. Don't need to read the instructions. We'll just start putting it together. Well, we got those pieces together, and it seemed fine until we started to try to put all 4 sides together. And we realized pretty quickly that the section that we had in the front was about 4 feet longer than the section we had for the back. And we couldn't figure out why. I mean, all the pieces looked the same, but apparently they weren't. The pieces for the front and back, one was 2 feet longer than the other one, so that when you put a short one with a long one on the front and a short one with a long one on the back, then they'd be the same length. So we had to take those apart and put them back together the right way. Then we started to put up the side panels, and all of them looked pretty much the same. And so we put 3 on this side, and we noticed it didn't quite come all the way to the end. And then we got to the other, and we put 3, and it was sticking past the end. Well, guess what? Those side panels weren't all the same either. We finally had to take half the shed back down and read the directions and go back to the beginning and start over and do it right. You see, the problem is when we don't know the directions, or even if we have the directions but we don't read them and follow them, it really doesn't do us any good. It comes the same thing when it comes to the Bible. Some people don't have a Bible. They don't have the directions for their life. Those are like those of you who never even picked up an outline. You can't follow the directions because you didn't pick one up. And there are a lot of people who never go looking to the Bible for the answers to their questions. Those of you who picked it up but then just never read it are like a lot of people, certainly in our country. Those people in our country who have a Bible, or they may even call themselves Christians and consider themselves to be religious. They may even go to church sometimes, but they never read it. They never really study it. And they certainly don't follow it. those who actually followed the directions and read the page and did what it said? Well, in our little group this morning, there weren't any. Well, in worldwide terms, the number of people who actually read the Bible and study the Bible and do what it says are less than 1%. In fact, Jesus made it very clear when he said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Most people will never find the way to heaven because either they'll never look to the right map, or even if they've got the right map, they'll never read it and look at how to go and follow the path. Throughout the Scriptures, there are examples given of cases where it was very important to follow the directions, to build by the blueprints that were given. In the case of Noah's Ark, God told Noah what to do. He was very specific to Noah about what was to be done and how it was to be done. And it was left up to Noah to either follow the directions or drown like the rest of the world. Fortunately for all of us here today, Noah followed directions, because if he hadn't, that would have been the end of the world right then and there. There was nobody else. It was Noah or no one. But as we look at the case of Noah's Ark, we see that there were several things that God instructed him. God told him about the materials he needed in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. He told him what he was going to need in order to make this ark. Then in the following verses in Genesis 6, 15 and 16, God gives him directions for the construction of that ark. He tells him how long it's supposed to be, how wide, how high, how he's supposed to fix it, to make first, second, and third stories, to put a window, put a door, need some ventilation with all those animals. All those that gave him the directions for the construction of it. And then he gave Noah the instructions for its use. Noah wasn't building a hotel. Noah wasn't building a restaurant. Noah wasn't building a resort or a museum. God made it very clear that the purpose of this big ship was not to take cruises, but instead, he was supposed to bring animals of all different kinds onto the ark to save them from the flood that was coming. If Noah had decided to use it for a different purpose than God intended, we would all still be stuck. We'd all be lost. Well, we'd all never exist. And then we read about that in chapter 6 there, verses 18 through 21. But then in verse 22, we read probably the single most important verse of this entire passage. Certainly to us it is. In Genesis 6:22 we read about his obedience. "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." He did all that God commanded him regarding the ark. Built it just like he was supposed to. Used it for the thing it was supposed to be used for. Used the materials that he was told to use in making it. And because of that, Noah and his family, and in fact, the whole world as we know it today, all of the animals are saved from the flood. But what if Noah had not followed the directions that he was given? The second thing we want to notice is the tabernacle. In the case of the tabernacle, Moses is given, again, all of these specifics. He's told the materials that are needed. Exodus 25, 2 through 8. People are supposed to give of their own free will, however much they want of the various different things, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and the various stones that were to be set in the high priest's garments, and in the breastplate and the ephod of the high priest, and so they could make the sanctuary. God decided what materials were going to be used. Do you think Moses ever wondered, well, why don't we use this instead? Or, well, I think this would make a better whatever. Well, if he did, he quickly squashed those thoughts and used the materials that God said to use. Sometimes we don't like to use the right materials. We like to cut corners. We like to do it the cheap way. And when we do that, we often find we're disappointed with the results. It doesn't work out the way we thought it would. Then we see also in regards to the tabernacle that there were directions for construction. In Exodus 25, verse 9, 26, verse 1, and 26, verse 30, we read what God tells him. Time and again he says, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle. And the idea of the pattern there is the same as the idea of a blueprint. God says, I showed you my blueprint. You follow it. Now, if you were building a house and you had the architect draw up your blueprints for you, and everything, you'd gone over it with the architect, and the blueprints were just like you wanted them. And so you hired a contractor and you bring him in and you show him the blueprints and say, here's how I want you to build my house. And so you go off site and you come back and you're checking on the progress. And as things go along, after a few weeks, as things start to take shape, you start to notice that it doesn't look like what you discussed with the architect. It doesn't look like what you had gone over in the blueprints. And so you ask the contractor, I don't think there was supposed to be a wall right here. Why is there a wall right here? And the contractor said, well, you had a pretty big room here, and I thought that it was just too big. I mean, it was like 20 feet long, and so I just put a wall in the middle so you'd have two 10-foot rooms instead. Thought it'd be better that way. How pleased would you be with that contractor who changed your perfect blueprints because he thought it should be a different way? You see, he didn't have the authority to change it because of what he thought. He was supposed to build according to the blueprints. Well, Moses was supposed to build the tabernacle according to the blueprints that God had given him. Time and again there in those three verses that we mentioned, God says that you're supposed to make it this certain way. You're supposed to make it according to the pattern, according to the fashion that I showed you. And Moses didn't have the right to change it. Maybe he didn't like scarlet. Maybe he would have rather had them be blue. But he didn't get to decide. Maybe he didn't like goat's hair. Maybe he would have rather had linen or leather. But he didn't get to decide. God decided the materials needed and the directions for the construction, the blueprint to follow. And then God decided the instructions for its use. What was the tabernacle going to be? Big place to have family reunions? Place to have weddings? Place to have concerts? What are we going to use this big tabernacle for? God said, He decided how it was to be used. He decided and specified that certain items in the tabernacle were supposed to be in a certain place. He was very specific about it. Notice Exodus 26, 34 and 35. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. Had to be in that certain spot. Not just anywhere. You didn't just stick that out in the courtyard. That was in the most holy place. And you shall set the table outside the veil and the candlestick opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you'll put the table on the north side. Let me tell you something. That's pretty specific. That means when they set up the tabernacle, it faced a certain way. And north was always over here, and the table was there, and south was over here, and the candlestick was there. And you didn't put the candlestick on the southeast or the southwest. And you didn't turn the tabernacle a little bit. And you didn't. It was just so. And only certain things were allowed in the tabernacle. Only certain people were allowed in the tabernacle. God was very specific. Exodus 28 verse 30. Says, you put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Aaron, the high priest, had to wear certain garments, and there were certain parts of the tabernacle that only he could enter. And in fact, he could only enter one part of it one time a year, and when he came, he better have blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7 talks about it. He says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. They made the sacrifices daily. But into the second, the inner, the most holy place, went only the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of his people. And so God made it very specific who was allowed in and who could do what in there and what they were supposed to do and weren't supposed to. Specifics. Very helpful when it comes to directions. One of the things I hate about following directions is when somebody who doesn't know how to give directions gives directions. Oh, it's rough. I say, and you turn at a curve in the road and you go a ways. And then you'll come to a tree and you turn there. And you go down a while. Well, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of curves in the road. And I don't know how far a ways is, or a while. And boy, if I'm just going to turn at a tree. I remember one time when we were in college, Don and I went to a party at some friend's house. Now, I'm from Colorado, and out there we have mountains, the Rockies, maybe you've heard of them. They were pretty big, but in Alabama, they have what they call mountains, kind of like they have around here up in Harrisonburg, you know, up in the mountains. They call them mountains, but they're hills. And part of her directions was, as we were going along, we're supposed to go over a mountain. And then we were supposed to look for a street light that was blue. I don't know, blue street lights. That's kind of unusual. We'll notice that blue street light. But I never saw the mountain. Oh, we went up and down a few hills, but I don't know which one was supposed to have been the mountain. You see, when you're given directions, it's essential that you make yourself very clear so that someone knows how things are supposed to be. Exactly. And that's one of the things that God does. God makes Himself clear. The things we need to know for salvation are clearly taught in the Scriptures. The problem we have is sometimes we just don't even bother to read them. Or sometimes we listen to someone else tell us what they think those instructions are, and it gets us confused. Well, when it comes to the tabernacle, Exodus 39 and 40 tells of Moses' obedience and the children of Israel. 13 times in those two chapters, it says that they did something as the Lord commanded Moses. That phrase, as the Lord commanded Moses, was used 13 times to describe the way they built that tabernacle. This wasn't something that was done haphazardly. They followed the directions. Well, what about the church today? Do we have directions for the church today? There are some who would say that we don't. Say, well, we're just supposed to love Jesus and then the rest is left up to us. And they say, well, you know, if you're going to try to copy a church, which one are you going to copy? You're going to copy the church in Thyatira or the one in Philippi or the one in Ephesus? Because they all had their problems. Maybe you want to copy the church in Corinth. They had all kinds of problems. Or the one in Laodicea, and they forget that God gave us the directions. He gave us the blueprint. All of those examples of churches were churches that were trying to build according to that blueprint, and it's pointed out for us the places where they made mistakes, where they didn't build according to the pattern. And it's also pointed out to us the places where they did build according to the pattern. When it comes to the church, God gives us the materials needed. In Ephesians 4:4-7, for example, He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so He tells us some things here that are necessary to have the church, to build it according to certain specifications. Matthew 16:16-18, Jesus tells us the rock, the foundation upon which it will be built. 1 Corinthians 3:9-11 talks about that. Acts 20 and verse 23 talks about what's able to build us. The Word is able to build us up. Ephesians 2:19-22 talks about Christ being the chief cornerstone, and all of us being builded together. We're living stones. And that's discussed. The church is not made up of wood and brick and mortar. The church is made up of living stones. Human souls coming together to be part of God's household, to be part of His temple. And we're warned, we're told of that. God also gave us directions for its construction. He tells us how to build the church. He tells us exactly what we're to do. Jude 1 verses 20 and 21 tells us we are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 talks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. It should be holy, without blemish. We're given instructions about different things that we are to do when it comes to building up the church. How we're to speak, how we're not to speak, what we're to teach, what we're not to teach. We're given instructions for its use. What is the purpose of the church? The Bible tells us. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 22 talks about the divisions that were among the church in Corinth. And he talks to them about coming together, and they were supposed to come together to take the Lord's Supper. But that's not what they were doing. They were coming together and having a drunken feast. And some were going hungry, and some were getting drunk, and it was chaos, and it was not what God intended. And so He describes to them how it was supposed to be. He talks to them in 1 Corinthians 14, 12 about seeking to edify the church and build it up. He talks to them about their spiritual gifts. Now in that case, He was talking about some miraculous gifts they had. But even today, we, all of us, have different gifts and talents, and we're to use those things to help build up the church. He talks in 1 Corinthians 14, as well as in 2 Timothy, about the role of women in the church. 1 Timothy, rather. The role of women in the church. What are they supposed to do? We're told about the different aspects of how we praise and glorify God. We're taught about teaching and preaching and about singing and about praying. And we're given examples of how those that did it right, did it right. And we're given examples of how those who did it wrong made mistakes, and how we don't need to follow their mistakes, don't need to do the things that they did. Throughout the letters to the churches, we learn more and more about how to build the church, how to use the church, and what its purpose is. And that's really where we come in to one of the biggest problems that we often face. That is our obedience. 1 John 5, 2 and 3 talks about the importance of our obedience to Him today. Just as important as it was for Noah, just as important as it was for the children of Israel building the tabernacle. I guess I'll go ahead and break it to you. I hate that you didn't get the opportunity to do this. Maybe I should have put it out last week for you to take home. Then you wouldn't have brought it back. I don't know. Even if that had been in the direction, be sure to bring it back. Half of you wouldn't have followed that one. But if you have looked at it, if you've read it at all, you'll notice that if you follow the directions, if you really follow the directions say quite clearly to read everything before you do anything. Read the numbered items below. After reading all of the statements and questions, you can do as they tell you. Unfortunately, what happens to most people is they start in at the top doing number one when they read it. And then they do number two when they read it. And then they do number three. But if they'd followed the directions and read them all, they'd find that number 14 says, completely ignore numbers 1 through 13 and just write your name at the top. See, it really shouldn't have taken you but about a minute or two to do this. But sometimes people spend 20 or 30 minutes on it. But if you follow the directions, you see, the problem we have with the church, with Christian living, is we don't follow the directions. We may read the directions, but then we go out and do whatever we want to do. We go on about our lives, day by day, doing what we want to do or what we think is right. If you're going to read the directions, they won't do you any good if you don't follow the directions. How good are we at following directions? I know that there are many in the religious world all claiming to be following Jesus, and yet all teaching and practicing a lot of different things. And I have to ask myself, if they're all following the same directions, how come they're getting so many different results? You know, when we built that shed, once we finally figured out that we were supposed to follow the directions and followed them, it came together pretty good. And it looked just like the picture on the front. Once we followed the directions. I don't know what it had looked like if we'd have kept going the way we were going. But it would have had gaps and holes and everything else. Unfortunately, we never did get the concrete figured out. It just stuck off 2 feet. But that's just the way that worked. But we've got to realize the importance when it comes to spiritual things, when our internal soul is at stake, of following the instructions, being obedient to what we're told to do. Now, sometimes someone is told, you've got to do this and it's a matter of life and death. Well, what God tells us to do as Christians in the Bible is much, much more important than being a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. You can't get any more important than that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a part of God's tabernacle, of His temple today, you need to become a part of it. You're dead in your sins. You need to have those sins washed away and allow the blood of Christ to bring you to life, so that you can be a living stone in the building of God's house. You do that by believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being baptized to wash your sins away. Then you rise to walk a new life as part of His household, part of His family. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been reading your instruction manual, or perhaps you've read it, but you're not following it like you should. Make the changes you need to make today. Do it right. Follow the directions and build by the blueprint for your life that God's given you. Your life will be better than you could ever imagine if you'll do that. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.